Did I turn the mute button the wrong way? No, there we go. Awesome. Mm-hmm. How many of you have that memorized? Oh, I know that you guys are mouthing along with it out there. Yeah, yeah. We made it, you guys. It's the end of Ephesians. It's also the end of summer. Sorry, but yay harvest, right? No, we made it through the book of Ephesians today. We are going to finish our series. I'm so excited. I'm going to dive right in because there's a lot to cover in just 10 verses, and I want to get you out of here on time. So we're going to dive right in. Today we are going to be talking about the armor of God. Yes. Amen. I love the energy, you guys. I love that. Yes, armor of God. That's so cool. Before we start, I want to just tell you a couple of quick stories. Back in the early 2000s, that's how old I am, I was traveling and playing piano with an orchestra, and we were going out on the mission field. And we were in Central California for training to learn the music and to just kind of get to know each other and practice before we went out into the mission field. And one night, right before we were about to leave, a bunch of my bunkmates and I were in our bunk and ready for bed and kind of praying together. Some people's support hadn't come in yet. It was just a few things we were praying about before we went out. And all of a sudden, we felt just a change in the room. The air got really cold. We could see our breath. But it was Central California in June. So it was very weird. And we could feel our spirits just quickening and being anxious and a little bit afraid. And so we just got down on our knees and started praying because we were like, what is happening? What is this? It eventually went away. We were praying it for, I don't know, hour or so, and eventually went away. And as I was going to sleep, I remember thinking, I'm not going to be able to sleep if I'm afraid or if I'm anxious. I'm going to date myself again. I went to my bag and pulled out my Discman and put my CD into my Discman. And I put my earphones in, and I was just going to listen to some music to fall asleep to, just to kind of distract myself from what had happened. And it was really cool because as I was falling asleep, the Lord gave me a vision. And I know it wasn't a dream because I was still awake, but it was in that kind of in-between place, you know, where our brain is kind of ready for what the Lord has for us, if you know what I mean. And so he showed me actually a picture of the entire camp, and I was above it looking down, bird's eye view. And all the way around the camp was darkness, not nighttime darkness, darkness. Kind of moving, kind of slinky, kind of scary. But I wasn't afraid because at the center of the camp was a massive warrior angel holding a massive sword in each hand. And he just stood there, and everything that the light from his body touched, the darkness could not come near. And I believe the Lord gave me that vision to calm my fears and to know there's stuff going on that we don't see. And I tell you, I fell asleep like that and had the best sleep. And we went out and we preached his word on the mission field. Secondly, a few years ago, I was trying to go to sleep again, but the Lord was not letting me. I was very anxious. My spirit was doing that. Oh, I don't know what's going on, but, you know. And I wanted to go to sleep, and the Lord wouldn't let me because he was asking me to pray for someone. And I didn't want to. Because this person he was asking me to pray for was somebody who had wronged me very deeply and very cruelly. And I just didn't want to. But he wouldn't let it go, and he kept asking me to pray, and he kept asking me to pray. And so I started by praying that they wouldn't get hit by a bus next morning, and that they wouldn't find coffee grounds in their coffee the next morning. But of course, praying for other people is not only for them, it's for us. And so as I was praying, I could feel the Holy Spirit moving, and I really felt compassion for this person. And the Lord gave me another vision. And it was a picture of this person in the fetal position, bound in chains to the ground. And coming towards them was that same darkness. And I knew why the Lord showed me that and why he was asking me to pray. Now, why do I tell you these things? What does this have to do with Ephesians, Joy? Well, I believe that Paul's ending the letter to the Ephesians with supernatural battle instructions. And we need to know there is more going on around us than we can see. I've seen it. I believe the Lord has shown you as well. We just have to understand and be aware that there is more going on than we know. If we're not prepared, how do we fight? So, let's get into it so we can get out of here for lunch, all right? Okay, supernatural battle instructions. Let's go to the verse. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Whoa, that's intense. Yes, I believe there are two main reasons that Paul is writing these very dramatic instructions to the people. And the first one is to protect ourselves. It's very important to protect ourselves. But before we protect ourselves, we have to know who the enemy is. Who is the real enemy? Who are we fighting? Paul says, take your stand against whose? The devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We've seen this in the verse. He's telling us who the real enemy is. If we can go to the next slide there. There's a verse here in Revelation that talks about who the devil is. The great dragon was thrown down. I was going to tell you, imagine I'm Vincent Price telling you the story very dramatically. The great dragon was thrown down. That ancient serpent who is called devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. In the book of 1 Peter, it also says, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now, I don't say this to incite fear into you, because we know who has the victory. So that's not the purpose of this. This is just an awareness thing. Jesus wants us to know who the enemy is. So several times in Scripture, we see the devil's shenanigans, yes? He deceived the woman in Eden. He made a bet with God about his servant Job and caused him to lose everything. And we even see him tempting Jesus himself in the wilderness, trying to get him to deny God or to deny his faith. We see this time and time again. The devil does not want us to know who we are in Jesus. He does not want us to be reminded of what Jesus did on the cross for us. He doesn't want that. If you guys knew even a little bit about the week I've had this week, he does not want me to encourage you in this way this morning. So I know, even in Mark, Jesus says to Peter, get behind me. Your mind is not on the things of the Lord. Because he could see the enemy's influence, and he called it out, and he rebuked it. Your mind is not on the things of the Lord. So, we know our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right, now let's get into it. Next slide. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to run away. No. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to attack. Nope. He does not say to attack or advance or to run away or to retreat. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. He says this many times in two sentences. After you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's a lot. But I have some help today. This is Achilles. Well, it's Brad Pitt from the movie Troy, but it's Achilles. He's wearing almost all of the armor we're going to be talking about today in the time period that Paul would have been referring to. So I wanted to give you the best visual I could. I mean, it's Brad Pitt. That's a pretty good visual. So, yeah. All right, so let's go through these then really quickly. Belt of truth. Where do we wear a belt? Around our middle, around our body. It's the center of our being, and it's closest to our body. And it's the belt of what? Belt of truth. We hold truth close to our bodies, and we surround ourselves with it. Why? So that we can understand and be aware of what is true and what is untrue. The first step is knowing the truth. So we gird, that's a fancy word, gird ourselves with the belt of truth. Next, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate is covering the body. But why is it the breastplate of righteousness? Because when we walk as royalty, as we've talked about all summer, when we are in alignment with who we are in Christ, and we are walking in righteousness, the accuser has no power. Anything he might come at us, accusing us of, tempting us to fall into sin with a lie potentially, it has no power because we are covered with righteousness. Very important. That's an action step for us. We have to be aware. Next, the feet ready with the gospel. Some of us oldies know this as the gospel shoes. But why are shoes important? They are a firm foundation, and they protect our feet as we move across the battlefield. In the ancient world, armies would put up sharp sticks or dig holes, or even in recent landmines as the world got older. The battlefield is littered with traps. If we do not have sure feet and protection, we are surely defeated. But what does it mean, the feet ready with the gospel of peace? The gospel is the good news. It is the good news that we sang about this morning, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that is peace, because we know, as Darian even said, he has overcome the world. And we can go out with that firm foundation of Christ and what he did and have peace to move across the battlefield safely. Next, shield of faith. Now, my son Asher, wherever he is, he's for sure thinking about Captain America right now. Wow, Mom. Thanks for calling me out. No, he is. I'm sure he is. The shield. Now, obviously, Captain America's shield does a little bit more for him than an ancient Greek or Roman shield would have. And this is actually a Greek sword, which is round and has the space for the spear next to it. Roman shields would have been more like a big door, very square, to hide the whole body. And that is the point. That is the point. The shield covers our most vulnerable spots, especially our heart. It can withstand the fiery blows from the enemy. And it does a lot more than that. It can push back against the enemy. And it extinguishes the arrows. You can see no arrows could get past that, I don't think. I mean, it'd have to be a pretty amazing arrow, but it extinguishes, it protects. But how do we see this in terms of faith? Why the shield of faith? And why the specific instruction to take it up? Don't we already have the armor on? No, we have to choose it. We have to choose faith. We have to take up our faith as an action and push back against the enemy. Push back. When Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he pushed back. He pushed back. He used his knowledge of Scripture as an act of faith, and he pushed back against Satan. And we are able to put out the false truths with our shield of faith. Next, we have the helmet of salvation. That's a really pretty helmet. I like it. Anybody who's seen a war movie or a battle or read about it in their stories, we know that strikes to the head are fatal. So the head is important to protect. Most of the time, there's no coming back from a head wound, right? And in these times, when Paul is writing to the Ephesians, they would have understood that in that culture, in that language, the head was actually referring to the whole person. It was the most significant part of the body. When somebody would lay hands and bless somebody, they would bless their head. Curses would fall on someone's head. Thank you. When Jesus defeated the snake in the Garden of Eden and landed the fatal blow with his heel, he struck his head, right? So we must protect the head at all times. One Arabic scholar actually wrote that the helmet of salvation could actually be translated to the helmet of the Savior, Jesus himself, meaning we put on Christ. We put on Jesus, and he protects our heads, our minds, from spiritual death. Now, you might be asking, oh, but isn't salvation just a one-time thing? Why is Paul asking us to regularly put on salvation? Good question. I would love to tell you. I believe that he's referring to the hope of salvation, the hope we have because of salvation. Putting on hope. When we enter the battlefield of the mind, the enemy can deal harsh, fatal blows. But if we're putting on the hope of salvation every morning, we hope in Jesus. We know who has the ultimate victory. We know who we are in Christ. It's the protection against the enemy of our minds. Finally, sword of the Spirit. Now, he's technically holding spears, but you get the idea. The phrase, the sword of the Spirit, actually is only found one time in Scripture, in this verse. All the pieces of armor come from God, but this particular piece is God himself, the Holy Spirit. And it's the same word in this verse that is used to describe God in John 1, verse 1, which says, "And the Word was God." Same word. The sword of the Spirit is God. In Hebrews 4, it calls the Word of God a double-edged sword. And swords were commonly made that way so that it was easier to penetrate, to cut in every direction. So a piercing, penetrating sword is the Word of God, absolute truth. And it lays open the hearts and motives of those it touches. Interesting note, it's also the only piece of armor that is offensive as well as defensive. Now, there's differing beliefs, but many scholars believe that the actual sword that's referred to is closer to a dagger, not a giant sword, but a dagger for close combat, or to dig out any arrows that made its way past the armor. But isn't that the way of the Word of God? It digs out false truths. So these are the pieces of the armor of God, and it's a lot. We probably could do a single sermon on each one of them. Maybe we will someday. So it's a lot to absorb in a short period of time. But something interesting that I was reading during my research, and actually it's about Achilles in the Iliad, the story of Troy. Now, for those of you that don't know, Achilles was a very famous warrior. He had signature moves, and he was undefeated, basically. But something that was interesting about just the understanding of armor in the cultural society in general was that the armor was a visible reputation of the warrior, meaning other warriors could go out and have victories in the armor of Achilles. I thought that was so interesting because whose armor are we putting on? Wow, whose armor are we putting on? God's, yes, you're with me, great. So wouldn't that mean many, many more victories? Whose reputation is above all others? God's. Who is the ultimate victor and completely undefeated, even more than Achilles? God. So when we put on his armor, God's reputation is visible. And we can win victories as ourselves, but in the armor of God. Now, at the beginning, I did mention there was two points. One was to protect ourselves. Do we feel like we have an understanding of how to do that? Some good points in there to absorb truth, know who we are, extinguish the flames, know who the enemy is. But what's the point of it? The second point, now that we've protected ourselves, we need to protect the kingdom. We have to go out and protect the kingdom. Let's go to the next verses. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, this is Paul talking about himself, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Remember, he's in prison writing this letter. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So he's instructing us to pray for each other. And he's asking for prayer in return. He knows that is how we fight. And while the armor of God is described a little bit here for one soldier, I actually believe it's accurate to say it is the armor of the church as a body. And we wear these gifts together. Now, I was talking about the Roman soldiers. Their shields were a bit more square, more like doors. And what they would do is they would stand shoulder to shoulder, or in a bit of a V even, but shoulder to shoulder, and create a protective barrier. And then they would push and push and push back the enemy. And they would create that barrier so nothing could get past. Now, what do you suppose would happen if we all stood together? Verse 14 says that we are to stand when the day of evil comes. Stand alone? No, we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, with our armor, with our shield of faith, and we push back the enemy. And we push back, and we know who has the victory. Now, I have permission to share one of our prayer team backstage while the worship was going on. She shared that she saw a bit of a vision, and she said, all of you are in your armor today. There are rows and rows of you in armor with your shields. That is so cool, you guys. You didn't even know what we were talking about, and you came ready. You came ready. And she also said, you guys are ready to go out. You're ready to go out and declare truth and declare victory. Protect ourselves and protect the kingdom. We stand together. Now, I'm going to finish the story. I started a little bit earlier about when God asked me to pray for somebody I didn't want to, and I saw that vision in my mind's eye of the person in, crouched on the floor being chained. And I knew why God was asking me to pray, and I saw the darkness coming towards them. But what I knew the Holy Spirit was asking me to do was something more. So in my mind's eye, regardless of my personal feelings about the matter, I stepped over the person and stood between them and the darkness. And I started to pray blessing and declare truth and protection for this person who had no idea. They had no idea I was doing that. I have no idea what was going on in their world that was needing to be prayed for. I don't know. I probably will never know. But that's not the point. The point is to protect the kingdom. If we know what Jesus did for us, and we have the hope of salvation, how could we do anything else but to protect ourselves, children of God who he loves, and children of God who he loves that don't know him yet, or that know him but have lost hope, or that feel like they've gone too far to be reached? Sometimes people just don't have the strength to fight anymore. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they have divine power to demolish strongholds. They have divine power. We who hold them are divine warriors. Protect ourselves and protect the kingdom. We have divine power to demolish strongholds. Any of you ever had one of those days where you're just out of sorts? Yeah, there's a brave soul, yeah. Just me? Okay. Yeah, you know, you're just kind of not really sure what it is even. You're just like, oh, something's weird, and you forget to rinse your hair in the shower, and you leave the kids' lunches at home, and somebody's breathing too loudly all day, and everything's annoying and everything is being taken personally and you tailgate everybody on the way home. Now that's just me, yeah. Yeah, that was a day I had once. And I said to the Lord at the end of the day, what happened? And he said, you forgot a piece of your armor. To which I said, well now Lord, I don't know, because when I got on the scale this morning, that armor was heavy. So, I don't know, I think I got it all. No, he said I had forgotten a piece of my armor. All kinds of things can go wrong. And we need to be aware of what's actually going on. What is actually going on? God has given us everything we need to wage any war, especially when the war begins in our minds. There is no protection like the Lord. He is our protector. The armor is him. And we can't go into any situation or environment without knowing whose we are and what power we carry. And we need to know how to fight. Put on Jesus. We listen to his voice. We spend time in his presence. And we know his word. We hide his word in our hearts. So what would happen if on an off day or in an argument with our spouse or a broken relationship with a friend? What would happen if we were to recognize who the real enemy was? What might really be going on? I think about so many things in my life I could have fought so much harder for if I had known the devil's schemes. And we owe it to our children and our children's children and their children to stand and to fight. They are counting on us to get it right. Because what we fight to overcome and heal in our minds and our hearts is overcome and healed for our entire family line. And they are counting on us. our identity, who we are. I am a daughter of the Most High King. You are sons and daughters of the Most High King. And he's already won. That's the great part. The war is already won. The victory is ours through Jesus. But how do we fight? We protect ourselves by relying on Jesus and our relationship with him. And we protect the kingdom by releasing his word into every atmosphere. So we're going to do that together this morning. We're going to protect ourselves, and then we're going to protect the kingdom. So just take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, is there a piece of armor I missed today? Maybe what's been going on in my life recently makes a little more sense now. What am I missing, Lord? Show me how to protect myself so I can have the victory. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you and show you. And now that we have all our pieces on, we're ready to stand shoulder to shoulder and push the enemy back today and in the coming days. Now we're going to protect the kingdom. So if you are here this morning and you are fighting a battle and you feel like you are losing, I want you to activate your faith by literally standing. Stand and let us come together. Protect the kingdom and pray for you. And I'm going to pray that you have courage to actually stand, because we are here for you. And the Lord wants you to see victory. And you are not alone. Have your permission. I would like to just ask if we could lay hands and pray over the people. And if you are not standing, that's still okay. God knows. God knows. I just want you to be encouraged by God's word this morning. He loves you so much. And he wants us to know how to walk in victory and how to have power. And to be divine warriors and build and protect the kingdom until his return. Let me pray for you. Jesus, you are our great King. You are a great King, and we magnify your name, Jesus. Thank you what you did on the cross for us. Thank you for what you did for me and for every person here this morning. I pray that whatever is going on in the lives of your people this morning, God, that you would give them wisdom and you would give them strength and power and authority over darkness, Lord. I pray you would make the pieces of armor so real to them and visible and clear so that they can put it on, God, and be protected, and then go out and protect the kingdom. God, I pray for strength. I pray for healing. I pray for protection over your people this morning, God. Lord, your word says that you go before and behind us. You are in our coming and our going now and forevermore. And we just pray. We thank you so much for what you've done. And may we be encouraged and understand who we are more clearly and know whose we are and who you say we are, and that we might put on your armor and win great victories in your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Joy, for that message.